Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Photographer Gil Cohen-McGinn has seen things that most of us will never see in our lifetimes. The firing of artillery at close range. The closed world of the ultra-Orthodox of Israel. A lone man halting the onward rush of a bulldozer about to destroy sacred burial grounds. Gil Cohen-McGinn's work has graced the front pages of some of the world's leading newspapers, and he's in town today and in our studio right now. Later on this hour, William Seward, Abraham Lincoln's indispensable man. But first up, the photographer who has documented so much of the violence of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, Gil Cohen-McGinn. He has spent 10 years working with Reuters. He makes several appearances in the Kansas City area today and tomorrow. And Gil, so nice to have you. Welcome to Kansas City.
Thank you, me too.
Well, it's hard not to look at some of these photographs, Gil, and not appreciate just how much risk you took to take them. And I'm wondering why. Why do you do it?
It's very hard to explain, but when you are working in photojournalism in the Middle East, you don't think about the risks that you're taking every day because you are run after the picture and you are either, you know, behind the camera. And if something happened, you just run and shoot and you want to bring the good picture and the best picture. And you don't think about the risk. It's something that sits inside in your body just to run and to bring the right picture. And sometimes you feel that maybe you made mistakes and maybe it's wrong things to do. But during the work, you don't feel it. When you look in the computer and look in the picture, when you edit the picture, and then you understand that you shoot something very risky.
Only yeah. Then do you realize that.
Yeah.
Well, I've known guys like you. You're a certain breed of people who are willing to take risks like that. I guess what, you're a special band of risk takers? Is that, am I right?
Yes, I can give you an example. During the Lebanon War, it was the last week of the war, I've been in the South Lebanon. We were there a few photographers. And then we saw Israeli troops, we saw their vehicles there, and we ran after. And then after 5 seconds, we found all the team, all the photographers, all. We were there around 5 photographers. We saw that there is few helicopters, Israeli helicopter. They try to land, and we don't understand why they try to land. And then we saw that they are in rush time, and after a few seconds there is a shooting there, and we saw that the Hezbollah try to shoot to the helicopter, and then we saw that we understood that inside the vehicles, the APC, the armed vehicle, it was a lot of Israeli soldiers that injured. And then they tried to took them to the hospital. This is the reason that they tried to land the helicopter. And it was, we found ourselves, you know, during the war, inside, in the middle of the war, and the people went out crying, and part of them, it was the bodies, and was Israeli injured. And
right.
It was very, very hard, the time also later to the photographers, because we cover all this day, and it was a, we shot a lot of pictures of 15 Israeli bodies, soldiers, and also a lot of injured. And when you sit after in the computer and you see the picture and you understood that you shoot a huge story, and after you need to publish it and to send it. This is something that's very hard.
I'm wondering what your parents or your other loved ones say about what you do and how often you must hear from them, Gil, to be careful out there, because your pictures suggest that you're not being real careful.
Yeah. Most of the time I'm not telling to my wife and also to my children what I'm doing. I'm going to the war. I'm going to near Gaza. I'm going to near Lebanon, and it will be okay.
Does she worry?
Yes, she worry, but she doesn't, I tell you the truth, she doesn't want to know exactly what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Because she said to me a lot of times, if she will see my pictures, or also if she see my stories, she get very worried about what I'm doing, and I'm try to keep it secret. Sometimes you can't, because people talking, my friends, and they see my picture in the newspaper, and it's hard to hide the picture.
We're talking with photographer Gil Cohen McGinn. You know, so many of your images interested me, but one of them, speaking of violence, really caught my attention, Gil, and it's one I'm picturing it in my mind, of a man who has his back to a blast, and there's all kinds of dust and looks like wind blowing at him, and you are shooting directly into that blast. And if you can recall what photograph I'm talking about, how did you take that picture, and what kind of blast did you have to endure to get that image?
Yeah, this picture I took also in the second Lebanon War, in the border in Lebanon, the second day of the war. Reuters asked me to join the team, the troops, in the Israeli troops, if I can be with them, because there is an option to be with them, but there is it's not official. It's something that you arrive to the border, you talk with the soldier, and you ask to be with them. It's a rush hour, rush mm-hmm. time. And this is what I did. And they said, yes, you can be with us, but don't you any problem. And they don't, if you understand what is the problem, that you cannot use the flash. You need to be with them. You need to jump if you need to jump. You need to run if you need to run. To be like a soldier. And uh-huh. I serve in the army in Israel, and I know exactly what to do. And this is something that's very, it's easy because I know all the rules. And what happened in this situation, that's Hezbollah, you know what it is?
Sure.
Hezbollah starting to shoot over our place, and then they start to shoot to Beirut area, and they put a lot of fire on the rockets, because they need to go so far for 40 kilometers. And all the lands, when they shooting, all the lands going up, it's a lot of blast over you, mm-hmm. and it's very dangerous, because all the fire that you see on the picture, it can come to you. It happened to me once, in the first time that I was there, and nobody told me, listen, Gilly, be careful, because if you get very close to the artillery, you can get a fire mm-hmm. on your face. And it's happened to me once, and then I understood that I need to be a little bit back. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous, but I shoot a lot. I shoot few pictures. But I trying to be safe, in the safe side. Yeah.
Were you hurt in that particular taking that particular image, or not?
A little mm-hmm. bit. Fire come to my face.
Just a little bit of fire.
Yeah,
in your
a
face.
Little bit. But yeah, the camera protect me. Yeah. The camera is protect.
Well, I'm wondering, do you use a special kind of equipment, sturdy equipment, to take photographs of what you're taking pictures of?
No, it's not a special. It's a professional cameras. You have all the lens with you. And you have a few cameras, because you must take with you two or three cameras, because if something happened to one of your cameras. And in your car you have everything, if it's a flak jacket, and if it's helmet, and if you need a water, or all those kind of things, you need to be with you.
I'm wondering how loud, in some of your photographs, you're shooting images of artillery firing, and you see the blast of fire and flame coming out of the muzzle of the artillery pieces. And I'm wondering, how loud is that, and what's it like being that close to something that violent?
It's very loud. It's very, very loud. It's,
you have ear like covers?
I'm covering my ears also, and I put
earplugs.
My plugs also. You need to be like a soldier, and if you have been in the army, if you serve in the army, it's very easy for you, because you know exactly what you do when you prepare yourself to the war. You're taking everything with you, like a soldier. And I protect myself, and I brought with me, but it's very, very loud, and it's a boom like explosion. Every shelling, it's a boom like an explosion.
You know, Gil, you shoot a lot of violence, and you shoot a lot of mayhem in the world. And I'm wondering, what effect does that have on you as you go about it year after year? You get discouraged, you get down about it, or not?
Every story is different. But I tell you the truth, the story in Gaza, it's already more than 12 years. It's the same story again and again.
Yes, it is.
We made a war in 2009, and now a few months ago it was also a war. This is something that I must say that it's get boring, because it's the same things happened more than 11, 12 years.
War is boring?
It's not a real war. It's not a real war what's going on in Gaza. Because we are not going there, and what's in Syria, it's a real war, what's going now in mm-hmm. Syria. But in Gaza, you know, we are, the Israeli are very sensitive, and we cannot go with the Israeli, and the Israeli arrive only from the air, they attack only from the air, and you cannot shoot so many pictures. And they are very, you know, care about the people inside Gaza. It's not a real war like what happened in Lebanon, that you are going inside Lebanon, you are want to, you know, it's a real war. Mm-hmm. And in Gaza, I don't call it a real war. It's because, you know, sometimes they are shelling, we are attacked. Okay, there is people injured, people died, but... I will tell you the truth, I don't see the end of this story.
I was just going to ask you, do you see any hope at the end of all of this, or is it just going on and on and on? Because that's what it appears to, at least to me over here.
It's very bad to see it, to say it. I don't see the any hope there. There is a lot of problem in the Middle East. And maybe it will be a few years of quiet, but I don't see any solution. Maybe one day the Arab side decide that they want a real peace, because I agree for the peace. I agree, and I think that most of the Israeli want peace in Israel, and they want to live in a normal life. And I hope that one day it will be, but I don't think it will be, because we are in the Middle East. The Middle East, you see what's going on there. It's war, and this is what they want. They want to occupy Israel and to kill all the people in Israel. And it's very hard time.
Gil Cohen again is making several stops in the Kansas City area the next few days. He'll be offering a show this evening, Images of Faith in the Holy Land, at the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library and the Plaza. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. He'll lecture at Johnson County Community College at noon tomorrow, and he'll speak at 3 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon at the Corinth Public Library. We'll put a link to all those events on our website, kcur.org. If you want to join our conversation right now, 816-235-2888. Or you can drop us an email to updatedate@kcur.org. You know, Gil, you have a whole series of images that I've looked at on your website, gilmagin.com, chronicling former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. And I'm wondering how close you became with him, because you shot so many pictures of him.
Before the disengagement in Israel in 2005, seven months before, the disengagement, my chief photographer asked me if I can join to Sharon, to be with him close when I can. Why ask me this? Because they afraid that something will happen to Sharon, and we don't have a picture. You know.
So you want to be there just in case.
Yeah, and I didn't tell to anyone this reason that I want to be very close to Sharon, but... You know, in Israel, they killed already Prime Minister Rabin in 1995. And,
of course.
And a lot of people say that they are planning to kill Sharon before the disengagement. And Reuters asked me to be very close to him. And after a while, I decided to send a letter to Ariel Sharon, to the Prime Minister. And I moved the letter to him. And after a few weeks, they called me from the Prime Minister's office. And they said to me that the Prime Minister Sharon wants to meet me. And invite me for a meeting inside his house.
Wow, wow.
Yeah. And it was, for me it was a huge surprise. And I prepared for him a small gift. I put a few pictures, I print a few pictures, put in the album, and I write him a letter that I appreciate what he is doing. And I arrived to the meeting, I gave him this album. And then he said to me, "What do you want?" I explained that I want to shoot a picture of him, but a different picture, and to be very close to him. And then he said to me, "But you are working for Reuters, and it looks Israeli. Reuters are not. There is a news agency that's all over the world. How you are working there?" And then I explained that I'm Israeli. I'm working in Reuters. And then he asked me, "You serving the army?" I said yes. And I said, "Where?" I told him I was a paratrooper. says, oh, you are paratroopers. Oh, you are Israeli. Then he wake up, he shake my hand. He said, yes, of course, you come to be with me. Why not? It will be a pleasure to me that that you will come with me and to do a tour with me. And this is the reason that I got a permission from him to go with him everywhere, and I cover him around 6 months. I went him also to the States and all Israel.
Wow.
And I got a permission to go to the opportunity to go in a very different angle to shoot him. And this is the reason that I have a lot of pictures of Sharon.
Well, there's a terrific picture I've got to ask you about. One image of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown meeting Ariel Sharon in 2003. Whitney doesn't look especially thrilled to be there meeting Ariel Sharon. Tell us about what that moment was like.
Yeah, what happened there is that Whitney Houston arrived with her husband Bobby Brown to meet Sharon. And then during the meeting, when she met him, Sharon gave his hand to shake her hand, and she doesn't, move her hand. And he did it again and again, a few times, in front of the cameras. There was a few cameras there. And then Bobby Brown just sneaked in the middle and said to Sharon, I'm sorry, she will not shake your hand. And Sharon said, why? He said, she is not shaking hand with a man. She is keeping a distance between men and women. And I'm sorry to tell
why?
You this, because she belongs to one of the communities that they are not touching men. She's believed on this. And Sharon was, confused and surprised about this because this is Whitney Houston.
Is she Orthodox?
I think, but she's not Jewish, but she's belonged to one of the Christian communities that they are keeping in touch.
Yeah. Okay.
It was also a huge surprise.
So it made things very awkward there for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, when I published this, Reuters asked me if I can publish more pictures, not only one. And I published a few pictures of, when he's
trying to shake her hand.
It was very nice. Very
it just wasn't working out. Yeah. Well, speaking of ultra-Orthodox, another aspect of your work, Gil, that was so interesting to me are your photographs of the ultra-Orthodox. Tell us who you were able to photograph and how you were able to migrate into that world.
Yeah, and during my work in Reuters, Reuters asked me to shoot a daily life in Israel. And I decided that I want to shoot the ultra-Orthodox because it was, for me, very interesting. And it
a closed
was,
world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a closed world that nobody showed them and nobody shoot a picture inside because they are against cameras, they are against photography, it's against the rule of the Torah and against the halacha. And I decided to go there. In the beginning, I shot only in the street. Well, in the street, it's very easy to shoot. But after a while, I decide that I want to shoot inside, very deep, inside the yards, inside the houses, inside the school. And then I saw that it's very, very difficult. It's impossible to shoot a picture
so
inside.
How did you get permission to go into that world? Because, again, that doesn't happen hardly at all, if ever.
Yeah, and I tried to find the people that will help me. And after a few months, I found a group of teenagers that belong to one of the artist community, one of the extreme community that's called Toldot Aharon. And then they decide to help me. I show them my pictures that I arrive from different angles, that I want to show the color, I want to show the daily life, I want to show the positive life. And then they trust me. And they said to me, listen, don't tell to anyone that we are helping to you. We will give you a lot of tips what to do and a lot of information and come with us and we will see how it's work. And, in the meantime, they took me to a lot of places and they sneak me inside and they shoot a picture, hide my camera. And after a few...
So you would hide your camera and sort of shoot, covertly so that no one could see what you were doing.
No, what I mean, I hide my cameras. It means that I put the when I went inside, I cover my I hide my camera under the jacket. This is what I did. And when I shoot, they saw me because I arrived with a professional camera, and when they signed to me that now I can shoot. This is what I did. And this if they said to me, listen, now be careful, I'll be careful. And if don't use the flash, I didn't use the flash. All this project. And in the meantime, it's passing. I got a lot of a connection inside Mea Shearim. I published few of the picture. In the beginning, I published a lot of picture. And then I decide that I'm doing a huge project about them, and I decide also to dress like them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you dress like them and you put, a black yarmulke, kippah, and you dress in black and white, and you a little bit bare, it's also yeah. help. And then I went inside and I cover a lot of events and a lot of things also during the daily life. And after 10 years, I published a book of them, and I did and now I'm doing a lot of exhibitions.
Well, Gil, what did you take away from having access into that world? What did you learn about those folks that you hadn't known before?
I learned that they're a huge community, and each community are different from another community. You can say that something about all the communities. And learn that everyone is different. There is a nice people that help each other. There is a nice people that say want to show what they are doing. Okay, most of the time they are against picture, but the reason that they are against picture because they always the secular newspaper in Israel and also the secular press are attack them, they against them, and this is the reason that they are want to keep them very close. And the secret, and they said that they are not part of the secular, and they are not part of Israel, and they want to keep it like that. And when I told them that I arrived from a different opinion and a different angle, they opened me the door.
So the secular press is against them because what? They're seen as sort of separate from the rest of society somehow?
Yeah, there is a lot of problems because they are not serving in the army. They are not going to the army. The secular said that they are not going to work and they got money from the government. There is a lot of problem. But if you're inside, you know that most of them are working and part of them are going to the army, and part of them are very helping to the society. They are doing a lot of good things, and you learn how to respect them and to see what usually they're doing in the daily life.
Describe for us one of your favorite photographs of the ultra orthodox that will be with you for a while. Describe one to us.
There is a photograph that I shot during a demonstration with the bulldozer.
Tell us about that. Yes. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. This picture I like because you can see on this picture, it's very hard to explain on the radio, but I will explain that there is a demonstration against the grave. If you're following the rules in the Halakha, in the Torah, Bible, you can't move a grave, any grave.
Yeah, bulldozer had come to move some graves. That was considered to be kind of a sacred area.
But
I think
important to say that it doesn't mean that the grave belonged to Jewish. It means that maybe it's Christian, maybe
it
it's Muslim.
It can be anybody.
Anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The bulldozer arrived just to work on the road, to build a new road and to move the graves. And one of the guys, one of the Hasidic, arrived and stopped the bulldozer with his hands, pushed the bulldozer. And after a few seconds, they stopped the driver to work because it's very dangerous. And I shot the picture and I published the picture. And this picture did a lot of noise all over the world because they said that this picture are showing Israel because it looks like David and Goliath. And mm-hmm. also this looks like they said that Israel, they are so small in the map all over the world. They don't have a place on the map, on the globus. And they change all over the world.
Well,
and this
picture,
is Israel.
It reminded me so much of the famous photograph from China 10, 15 years ago of the man standing in front of the tank all by himself, holding a jacket, I think, in his right hand, and he stopped the tank just by standing in front of the tank. And that image, of course, captivated the world a number of years ago.
Yeah, in 1989, during the Tiananmen Square
uprising. Yeah. Well, are you one of those people who had a camera in his hand, at the age of 5 and have been shooting photographs ever since?
If I saw,
were you raised even as a child? Were you shooting photographs?
I understand. Yes, I started to shoot when I was very young. But when I got 13 in the bar mitzvah, my father bring me the first camera, and then I started to shoot. And after the army, I shoot during the army for my on my jacket was always a camera. And after the army, I decided that I will take it for the professional. And I went to study photography.
Why did you enjoy it so much? What was it about it that captivated you so much?
Because I think that every picture that you shoot, if it's a documentary picture, okay, it's a history. And you don't believe that's how one picture can tell story. Like a picture with Sharon. Sharon now is in coma. And when you shoot the picture of him, okay, you know, you feel that it's a regular, it's very boring picture. He's going to the Western Wall, to the Kotel, touching the... But now he's already 7 years in coma. He's, and you look in the picture and you don't believe that you shoot the picture. And the picture is so, you know, interesting. And so during the time, the picture is taking, you know, a lot of power. And I think that each picture you shoot, this is something that's a document the history and also telling any story. And in one picture to catch, to do the story, it's very hard. This is something that's very hard for any photographer all over the world.
Again, Gil Cohen again will be speaking this evening at 6 o'clock at the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library, the library and the plaza. The program is titled Images of Faith in the Holy Land. He'll speak tomorrow at noon at Johnson County Community College and again at 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon at the Corinth Public Library, where he'll talk about the challenges of capturing the news as a photojournalist. And, Gil, it's been so nice to have you here. Thanks for taking some time.
Thank you very much.
That's Gil Cohen McGinn. Again, you can see him this evening at 6 at the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library. More information about that, kcur.org. Coming up, a conversation about Abraham Lincoln's indispensable man. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.